Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon and welcome on this Saturday, July 23rd, 2022, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm Mike Rickard, flying solo this afternoon. My number one draft pick is moving today from Savannah State, Ben Botham. Look forward to him returning next week. So you'll have to tolerate me for 2 weeks, for 2 hours, not 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I don't think you'd stick in there. Anyway, you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, where they've been serving Champa Bay for 29 years. We've got a jam-packed show. I say that every week, but we have a variety lineup. We're going to talk to Lynn Munoz Murray. She is a former cheerleader. Well, she still is a cheerleader for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and she's in Jacksonville for a convention, and it's an alumni event. I bet it'd be an absolute hoot. It's got 500 cheerleaders over in Jacksonville, and that's taking place right now. We'll talk to Lynn Munoz, and then we're going to talk to Wayne Hogan, executive director of the Florida Rising Stars, former Florida State SID, Georgia Tech. He was the assistant AD there, and he was the AD at University of Montana. And we're going to talk ACC and FSU and conference restructure. And then, of course, we're going to talk – this is going to be fabulous. What a story. We've had Toby Hall in before, former Tampa Bay Ray catcher. And this past week in the and the MLB draft, his son, Taden Hall, was drafted 282nd and by the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll be talking to Taden. And then later in the show, we'll catch up with Toby Hall in Boise, Idaho, where he's coaching right now in the Rockies farm system. And then we'll talk Big O and the Axeman. Will give me a break about 1 o'clock, Oscar Garner III, and Alex Reba, they'll be down here talking college football. And Brad Richardson talking high school on the Prep Connection. So we've got a lot to get to on this Saturday, the 23rd, down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And it's a little steamy. I got a fan on me. A lot of people coming by. It's always active down here on a Saturday. Come on down. Plenty of baseball to watch in this quiet time of year. Of course, the Rays victorious last night, 7-3 over the Kansas City Royals in Kauffman Stadium, a location I spend a lot of games at, about 250 miles from Des Moines, Iowa, and I love that complex. It holds Arrowhead Stadium and Kauffman, something I think would have been ideal for the Rays and the Bucks, and not a possibility now that you have the Yankees over there for their spring training. But let's go over the Coors Light Fergs from the front row. Let's go over the standings as the second half of the season begins. Of course, in the East, we know the Yankees right now, 12 games on top of the Rays, who lead the wild card over the Blue Jays. And what humiliation last night for the Boston Red Sox, getting absolutely throttled. 28 runs by the Blue Jays. The Red Sox, the Blue Jays are 13.5 back. The Red Sox, 16.5. And the Baltimore Orioles, the bottom of the East, 18 games out of first. In the Central, it is the Minnesota Twins on top of the Central Division. You got them at the Guardians, who come to town here shortly, in second place. And I'm stumbling, fumbling, and bumbling, looking for... In the West, the Astros, who took care of the Yankees in a doubleheader and play them again, they lead in the West. And in the National League, you've got on top in the East is the New York Mets, game and a half on top of the Braves. You've got the Brew Crew, game and a half on top of the Cardinals. And in the West, it is the Los Angeles Dodgers, who I thought did a superb job of hosting the worst-watched MLB All-Star game recently in the history of the game. And I thought it was entertaining as they go. It was great to see Jackie Robinson's mom have her wife have her 100th birthday party there, and that was very impressive. And now we'll talk to Lynn Munoz, of course. She's over in Jacksonville. Looking forward to this conversation. You can hear us on all of our affiliates. And of course, starting up in Clearwater, 106.1 FM, our flagship, FM AM 1340, Tampa Clearwater St. Pete, WZHR FM 104.3 FM, and AM 1350, Zephyr Hills, WZHR 102.3 FM, and AM 1400. And she's kind enough to take time out of her wild weekend in Jacksonville. And she's Lynn Munoz Murray. How are you, young lady?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing, you know, it's a little toasty out here. You know, I'm perched here at Ferg's, right on Central Avenue. You've been here several times for me. But
yes, sir.
I bet you're having an absolute blast. Tell the audience where you're at, what you're doing, and how many ladies are there on this this wild weekend in Jacksonville.
We have about 800 former NFL cheerleaders from every single team in the nation. They're all represented. And we, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer Cheerleaders alumni, have 32 people here. It has been the most fun. Everybody, at last night's party, it was insane.
I can't believe it. Is Becky with you?
Becky is with me. She's not here right now, but guess who is here with me? Rhonda Mabry Hester. She cheered in 1978 to 82. And so she, again, we've been lifelong friends, and she's sitting here with me right now. Do you want to say hi to her?
Of course. I want to talk to any of the beautiful cheerleaders from the Bucks that are over there representing 32 of you. And I want to talk to her because somebody has to keep an eye on Lynn over the weekend, I'm sure.
And that's my job.
And that's your job. So you were there from 78 to 82, young lady?
I was. Mm-hmm.
What's your, as I ask the girls, they come down to Ferg's, and they need to welcome you to come down sometime, anytime. I asked Becky this. What's your fondest memory and craziest moment being a cheerleader those 4 years for the Bucks?
Oh, gosh, craziest moment. We used to come over to the stadium in a, like a vacation motorhome, I guess, if you will.
RV.
And we had to literally stop in the middle of the road and people get out and stop traffic. And we all jumped out, stopped the traffic, let the motorhome pull out. And people just were screaming at us in the road. It was very fun. Right outside the stadium.
You should have done one of your renditions right there and really pissed them off.
Done something. We got enough attention that we got the traffic to stop. But no, lots of precious memories. Absolutely.
So do you live in the greater Tampa area then?
I live in Melbourne.
Well, you probably come down and watch the Bucks play quite often. And how cool is it to have an alumni that's as deep and as consistent as you do here at Tampa Bay, just kind of like their Tampa Bay Players Association. I love the fact that you girls get together still and share memories and get involved in events like this.
We love it. We absolutely love it. I've known Lynn since I started dancing with her when I was 16. And I just feel like I've grown up knowing her. So she's absolutely precious.
Let me talk.
All right. Next.
Anybody had
one of the Bills cheerleaders just came up.
We don't want
to say hello.
Yeah, go ahead. We have a lot of Bills fans here, Fergs. Oh, maybe she's as crazy as their fans are.
Hello.
What's your name, young lady of the Bills Nation? And are you as crazy as your fan base?
We absolutely are. Mafia is the best fan base in the world. Hi, my name is Rose.
Rose, for security purposes, you're not going to give me your last name?
That would be correct.
Well, Rose, what years were you a cheerleader for the Buffalo Bills?
All the way back to our heyday of Super Bowl times, 1991.
Oh, my God. Those were some great teams. Unbelievable. And, you know, I'm a Packer fan, and I live in Tampa now. But I always had a soft spot for Jim Kelly, and God bless him now as his battle against cancer. Some amazing teams that were just one Scott Norwood field goal away from winning a Super Bowl. And I know that's a touchy topic, but you still were there in the greatest times. What's your favorite memory?
Well, my favorite memory was Super Bowl 26 because I was there.
Win or lose,
it was the most exciting time for the team, other than where we are now, which is what I hope is the next generation of exciting times for a team that took a long time to rebuild, but I think we're finally getting there. So excited that the torch has passed from Jim Kelly to Josh Allen, and can't wait to see what the future of this team is going to look like.
Now, do you live in the greater Buffalo area, or you just came to this event in Jacksonville to see your old pals?
I was born and raised in Buffalo, but I had moved south, so I support the team from Georgia, but do travel as many times as possible to get in touch with the team and my, you know, reunion sisters and alumni and everything. It's a great organization all the way around.
Well, Rose, you need to come down to Florida, come down to Tampa Bay, hang with Lynn and Becky and the girls, and get down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill for a game, because we have unbelievable Buffalo Bills, the Mafia, that come here for game watches. There are about 100 of them, and they're off the charts each and every Sunday.
Well, I would absolutely love to. I was actually there in present for the Bills-Tampa game back in December, and what an amazing just outpouring of support for the Buffalo Bills. I think it was 50-50 in the stadium.
Unfortunately for the Bucs fans, you're accurate. Okay, so I was going to see if you were the voice of reason to keep my girls from Tampa under control, but if you're from Buffalo, that's not going to happen.
I've met a lot of the girls from Tampa yesterday and during this week, and they're a phenomenal group of girls too, so I support them as well.
Yeah, well, I'd like you to keep an eye on them, but if you're from Buffalo, I highly doubt that's going to happen. You'll be right there in the mix.
We support our teams, but we support each other as well.
Yeah, I'm talking about supporting each other late at night. All right, Rose, with no name, you guys have a lot of fun. Throw it back to Lynn for me, would you, kid?
Okay, I'm sending it back to Lynn. Thank you.
All right.
We get a little
mix of everything, so it's got to be a lot of fun. But I thought maybe I could talk Rose, who didn't want to give me her last name, into keeping an eye on my girls up there. But if she's from Buffalo, she's no better than you and Becky.
Hey, let me tell you something. Last night, the New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneer cheerleader alumni got out on the dance floor, and they built a song for us called What a Man, What a Man, What a Man, and the DJ inserted the name Tom Brady, and we had a dance-off between the Patriots cheerleaders alumni and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers alumni. It was awesome. I hope somebody has video.
I want some video, and I want that video on my social media, because it'll be the most hits and most views we've ever had. So I'm holding you to that. Find that video, and I can imagine you girls, you might have had an adult beverage or two when you're prior to getting on the dance floor.
Oh, we did. We did have an adult beverage or two.
Yes.
But we were high on absolute life. The girls, I sent you pictures of our lovely attire, and we were a hit. So,
oh my God,
nice.
I just saw them.
Yeah, right?
I bet you were a hit. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
So,
those are cool.
Yeah, we raised the bar a little bit. They said tailgate party, so most of the teams came in T-shirts.
Not you
and
girls.
That's what we wore.
Describe these to the audience, because I would do a terrible job of describing them in the same way that you will, because they are incredible.
Thank you. They are white, off-the-shoulder, piratey winch tops.
Did you catch that, audience?
Red,
wench.
Red lace-up belts. Very Gasparilla-y. Off the shoulder, we have big, giant pirate Betsy Johnson necklaces with a one-eyed pirate. We have pirate hats, Welcome to the Jungle. So we had the leopard pirate hats in burgundy and black with big black pirate plumes and red plumes. We had black tights and tall black boots. And we were styling. It was fun.
You're not styling. That's a Super Bowl championship performance by you girls. Those are outstanding.
Thank you. The big Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay across the top in glitter, in rhinestones, red and black and silver rhinestones representing Tampa Bay. Everyone went crazy. People were stopping us everywhere we went from the other teams to take pictures. So that was pretty much a high compliment. And when I was leaving last night, somebody stopped me and said, "You girls get the award for the best costumes tonight."
You get their version of the Lombardi Trophy up there in Jacksonville.
And, that's right.
And absolutely throttled your opposition. These are cool. I'm going to get that on social media for sure. You need to text me who those three ladies are, and then a picture of the girls that I you know am loud and proud of and love of. You and Becky get a picture of you two as well.
We will. Tonight we have the big gala, and this is the finishing party, and it will be where we announce the first ever National Cheerleader Hall of Fame inductees. So this is quite a big event tonight. We have six of the first initial inductees into the National Football Cheerleaders Hall of Fame. So you'll be hearing more about that later. But I will be actually on stage presenting the awards, helping with, I think Beasley Reese is going to be doing the presentation, and I'll be handing out little trophies to him.
Beasley, of course, the president of the NFL alumni nationwide.
Yes. That is exactly right, Beasley Reese. And so it's going to be quite an event tonight. I'll make sure you get some videos and pictures also.
Well, I told Walter Carter that I was going to drive up, and I would have been you girls' bag man.
You could have been our official photographer, announcer, everything.
In two years,
we'll consider it.
I'm in. Yeah, I'll be good to you in the next 2 years, so I can be the bag man coming up there. And
you can also set up broadcast here, you know?
Oh, my God, would that be a hoot?
Yeah, we'll talk.
All right. We'll have your people talk to my people. How's that?
That's right.
All right. What's on the agenda this afternoon? Hopefully you take a little downtime so you can rock and roll again tonight.
Yes, we did, actually. We took we just had some lunch, and I think we're going to go hang out at the pool. But it seems to be sprinkling now. It's a beautiful place. Sawgrass Marriott. I have to give them kudos. It's gorgeous.
Well, anything around Sawgrass is gorgeous. That's where you're at?
Yes, we're at the Sawgrass Marriott Golf and Resort. It's absolutely fantastic here.
Well, I know Barry Smith and the Florida Sports Hall of Fame have actually hosted events at the venue, at the property that you're at in the past as well.
Oh, it's so pretty. I'm sitting out here in the lobby, and they've got like the little fountain with the golf thing in the middle of the lake and waterfalls, and I'm looking at people playing golf. So
you got a really rough life there, Lynn Munoz Murray. I know.
You know, it takes a lot, but somebody has to do it.
All right. Well, I thought this would be a lot of fun for our audience to get a snapshot, and it's amazing that 800 participants and the girls still have that much passion to congregate on an annual or every 2 year basis.
It's every 2 years, but you know what? These women, they raise money for all the charities, and you know we are the sister of the NFL alumni, so we are the National Football Cheerleaders Alumni Organization. So we have our national organization, and we go hand in hand with the NFL Alumni Organization, and we raise money for, you know, it's caring for kids, and we have numerous charities that we all raise money for. So that's what it's really about. It's a sisterhood, and it's also giving back to our communities and to the kids.
Well, there's some breaking news coming down the road. I've just formed an alliance. I'm now a member of the NFL Tampa chapter, and the two organizations, we're partnering up with the Caring for Kids, and we're going to be diving into the high school world aggressively. Walter Carter and I are putting that together. So you'll be seeing a lot of me at the meetings, and we're going to do a lot of Caring for Kids and start with the 124 high schools in Pasco, Hillsborough, and Pinellas County. And, And we'll have you girls at a lot of those events with us, all of them, actually.
Yes, yes. I have some. In fact, I was at the president's meeting yesterday morning for the all of the chapters of the cheerleaders organization, each team. And we met yesterday for 2 hours. And we also have some input for the high school program that's being put together.
Well, we need you girls need to get involved in promoting these young ladies that want to be cheerleaders or the dance teams as well. We just need to broaden how we give support to all these schools, not just the
kids. Yeah, we plan to broaden our reach.
Exactly.
And possibly offer some scholarships from our group to cheerleaders, because some, you know, the athletes get scholarships, the football players. But oftentimes cheerleading, it is a sport, and they get overlooked. So we're going to be inputting our 2 cents as well to you guys.
Well, and to me on the Tampa St. Pete, anything like that you're promoting, you want me to be loud and proud, we'll put on social media, we'll get you on the air. Let's do some good things in Tampa Bay for the kids through our
Absolutely.
Association as well, okay?
All right, Mike.
All right. Hey, I like that gal. She's a smart woman. That Rose from Buffalo.
Yeah.
She won't give her last name out. I should quit giving your last name out over the airwaves. But yeah.
Hey, I don't mind my last name. I'm a realtor.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. How do people get hold of you? Rose from Buffalo. That's all she would give up. She's gonna have some fun tonight. All right, young lady, be careful tonight, and I'll look forward to seeing you and Becky down here soon.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right. Oh, my gosh. I would love to be up there. Have a great day. Lynn Munoz Murray, and she was 1976 with the Buccaneers, and I'll tell you what, I think she was 4 or 5 years, and those girls know how to have fun, and they do a lot of good for the community as well, not just having fun in Jacksonville. And I thought that would be a great little tidbit there for the audience. And let's thank some sponsors, and then let's take care of business and get a hold of the great Wayne Hogan. And we're gonna talk a little bit of realignment. You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and as I said, we're all part of the Hoovy Media Group headquartered in Orlando. It's finished for fun. Hoovy delivers fun. And right now we're working on developing our platform on Hoovy.tv and Burning Rubber Radio, make an announcement there. Burning Rubber Radio is now going to be on the Tan Talk family stations. You'll be able to catch that at 8 a.m. Before we go on at 11 each and every Saturday starting in August. Andy DeLay from Burning Rubber Radio is part of this team, and we'll be spreading a lot of different shows in our streaming channel coming up in September. Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages, they are obviously a big part of our world here in the future as we bring down high school kids each and every Saturday. We'll bring a boys and a girls, and then we will also bring down a private school and a public school. We want to balance out what we're doing in the world of the Prep Connection. We're brought to you by Coors Light as well, and that conversation with Lynn Munoz Murray is brought to you by them. And so is this conversation with Wayne Hogan. We had a nice lunch yesterday, and some of the topics that we covered I thought would be perfect for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection down here on this muggy and warm Saturday at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central. He's been here many times, and he's kind enough to join me today and help me for another 15, 20 minute conversation. He's the great Wayne Hogan. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Mike, good afternoon. Good to be with you today.
It was great to have lunch with you yesterday and get caught up. And we shared a lot of stories, and most of them were true, I think.
In our age, you never know. I mean, they're as true as we can make them right now.
Well, for the audience that's new to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, Wayne Hogan is the executive president of the Florida Rising Stars organization, a great organization for young kids. Had a superb career with Florida State, Georgia Tech, Montana. He was a AAA play-by-play announcer for the Isotopes in Albuquerque. And I found out yesterday the color commentator for FSU basketball And that gives you kind of broad spectrum of his footprint in the world of sports for the last four decades. Did I do a pretty good job there?
Yeah, I guess you could say the old line, master of jack of all trades, master of none, right?
I wouldn't go that way. You've done a superb job. So let's go through your progression into the sports world quickly. We've got about 20 minutes, and a lot of people haven't heard you on the airwaves as I've expanded the footprint. So let's talk about your upbringing, how you got into the sports, and your success and progression.
Well, one of the ways I got into sports is actually coming back to roost right now with my Florida Rising Stars organization. When I was in, I'm going to go way back to when I was in high school. You know, I was a high school athlete. I thought I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. You know, I played pretty good baseball back in those days, and suddenly realized at the end of my high school career that that really wasn't going to work out. That next step was a difficult one to move forward. But I really knew that I had a love for sports. I wanted to work in sports, and I had a number of things that, you know, that I really found interesting. One of which was being an announcer, a broadcaster, which I did a little bit of and while I was in high school, just small time stuff. And you know, also was a pretty decent writer. So I was a sports journalist. I wrote for the school paper. And the point is that it gave me an opportunity to catapult myself from being on the field into a career in sports. And we'll talk about this a little bit more, but our Florida Rising Stars organization goes to high schools to this day, and we teach kids about careers in sports and how you can make a great life in the business of sports without being a great athlete or without being on the field. There's so many opportunities. So anyway, that was my start, and lumbered into the field of sports information. I was a student at FSU back in those days and worked as a student assistant there in the athletic department and learned all about public relations and media, those sorts of things. And that was my start, and loved every minute of it. College sports was way different back then than it is now. I'm one of the few people that can honestly say over a 20-year period, I went from being an unpaid, lowest of the low student helpers in the athletic department, and 20 years later was the athletic director. I was running the entire operation at FSU. So I literally, you could say that I had gone through the entire, every rung of the athletics world during my time there, from between 1975 and 1995. It's great times. You're right, I did take a little spin at being a professional broadcaster. I did AAA baseball for two different teams. And I have to correct you just briefly, because when I was in Albuquerque, the team was not named the Isotopes. They were called the Albuquerque Dukes at that time. And they were a AAA affiliate of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Had the greatest time of my life. It was probably as much fun as anything I've done was doing those minor league baseball games. The first year that I did that, Mike, was in 1979. I was just out of Florida State. I just graduated and got a job as the play-by-play announcer for the Charleston Charlies. The team was in Charleston, West Virginia. And it was actually a AAA ball club. It was a AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros. And it was in the International League. So I traveled the International League for an entire summer and into the fall. And I'm anxious to tell you that I was a one-man show. I did every game, 115 games, as I recall. In the summer of 1979, I did every game by myself, every inning, including a pregame show and a postgame show. So I got my complete fill of baseball broadcasting. It was a great experience.
What do you guesstimate you were making about an hour? $1.50 an hour?
I'll tell you right now, I remember when I went up there I got a tip and the general manager told me to come up, and he wanted to talk to me about the job. Like I said, I was a student down at FSU, and our coach, the head coach at FSU that year, was Dick Houser. And Dick went on to manage the New York Yankees and went on to manage the
Kansas City Royals
to a world championship. But Dick spent one season as the head coach at FSU. And Dick and I were good friends. I had known him for a few years, and I was a young kid, and I was doing the baseball games at FSU back then. And when this job opportunity came open, I asked Houser to call the general manager up there in Charleston on my behalf, and he did. And it turns out that the general manager there was a huge New York Yankees fan and knew Houser, because Houser had been the third base coach with the Yankees for something like 20 years. And so that was about as good of a reference as I could ever have possibly gotten. And as soon as Houser made the call, the guy said, "Hogan, get on a plane. I want you up here in Charleston." So it was not much of an interview to go on there. Once Houser said I was a good dude, that was it. That closed the job search. So, so it was fun times. I went up there, did that for a summer. I was lucky enough. I was going to tell you how much I was making. I when I was on my way up there on the flight to Charleston, I was thinking to myself, man, this is AAA ball. This is one level from the major leagues. You know, I'm one step away from being in the big leagues, right? And I'm thinking, this has got to be a lot of money. These jobs must be pretty high
paid. Yeah, right.
And so I get up there, and the guy says, "I'll pay you $400 a month, and I got a studio apartment you can live in, no charge and no cost." And that was the offer. And you know, I'm thinking $400 a month. I was making more than that as a student at FSU, right? But that was the life. That was about right. And I went to Albuquerque the following year, Mike. And I think I got $100 a month raise. I went from $400 a month to $500 a month when I went to Albuquerque.
Well, I got into AAA baseball at the ripe age of 39, wanting to make a life change. And here I am. I got assistant general manager of the Iowa Cubs, director of sales and marketing, Iowa Cubs. I'm like, oh, this is going to be beautiful. The GM, I know him. I knew the owners. And I'm thinking, you know, just 5 hours away from Wrigley. $22,500 base salary, some commissions, and I did everything but clean the toilets, my man.
There was many days when I was hired as a broadcaster, and there were many days when I was out there pulling the tarp.
We all pull the tarp. It's all everybody on board, all decks on deck. I mean, it's pouring rain, and you got to find, especially in a day game, you got to find bodies in spring.
You know, they'd have me out there doing that. I'd be unloading during the day. You know, we have a night game, and during the day, I'd be unloading hot dogs off the back of a truck. I'd be, you name it. I sold tickets from the window, you know, everything you could possibly do.
Somebody should write a book about being involved in AAA baseball at the ground level like you and I were, because it's not glorious by any stretch of the imagination. And that's a good thing about Florida Rising Stars. When you're talking to these kids that want a career in sport, you have to tell them, you, without a shadow of a doubt, have to pay your dues. And we talked about the late, great Rick Naif yesterday for some time. And Rick Naif told me what he did with interns. He would look at him and go, he'd have 10. 9 of you won't be here probably within the next 2 weeks, because it's operations. It's you know, you're sweeping, you're cleaning, you're not watching any games. And it's the same thing in sports. And you've had a career of doing that, but successfully.
Very, very true. And, you know, you hit on something that's very accurate, and that is a lot of people want to get into sports because they're rah-rah. You know, this is my team. I want to be, you know, they see themselves as being out there on the sideline or, in, you know, in the press box and, you know, cheering for their team and all of that. And it's none of that at all. It's all behind the scenes work. So, yeah, good stuff. But, you know, Mike, it was a great career, though. You know, I went on from there. I went from FSU. I had a chance to be the athletic director at the University of Montana. And I'm a Florida guy, born and raised. My wife's from Florida, born and raised. And you talk about a little bit of a culture shock is moving from Tallahassee, Florida to Missoula, Montana. Long, long way from home, a long way from roots. And I'll be honest with you, it was the greatest move we'd ever made. You know, we made more great friends there. We saw things we would have never seen. We experienced things we never would have experienced. And we had a great little program. We won two national championships in Division One Double A at that time. It's now the, what is it, the championships, what I can't remember what they call it, but it was Division One Double A. It's one level down from the big boys.
Exactly.
But, it was great times back then.
Well, I've talked many times about, you know, the glory years at Florida State, and chronicled it, but I never knew that you also were a color commentator for FSU during some very successful years with the great Gene Dekaroff.
Gene and I did 10 years or more, maybe 12 years of basketball at FSU. I was the color commentator. Gene, of course, sitting in the play-by-play chair. We got to be, through the years, the best of friends. Still are, as of today. We talk a lot. I love that man more than anything in the world. He's got a heart of gold, and we had some great times. We were there to experience the entry of Pat Kennedy into the FSU basketball program back in the late 80s and into the early 90s. And what great years. We went to the Sweet 16 one year, and the very next year we made it all the way to the Elite Eight. We were one rung from going to the Final Four. So just wonderful times, great memories. That was back in the Charlie Ward days. Charlie was playing football and basketball, and we had, you know, that one basketball team that we did with Pat Kennedy, the one that went to the Elite Eight, had four first round NBA draft picks on that team. It was legit. You had Bobby Sura, who had a great career, Sam Cassell, and of course Charlie Ward played 13 years with the Knicks. And then we had a kid named Doug Edwards, who was a first round pick of the Miami Heat and played for a number of years in the NBA as well. So we had a good team, buddy. We were really good. We got derailed by Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and for a chance to go to the Final Four, but just missed it by a hair.
Well, I didn't know that about you. I think that would have been absolutely exciting, exhilarating, and there you are, that tied to the program, and you're calling these games. You know the kids. You work with Charlie Ward. It doesn't get any better than that, but it did get better than that as your entire lifetime of hanging out with the great Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, that was the centerpiece of my career. It really was, and the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I was in the right place at the right time. I became sports information director at FSU in 1982, and people may or may not know, in that role is what they call the SID. You're in charge of all the publicity and media relations and those sorts of things. And I just happened to have a guy named Bobby Bowden who brought more attention and glory to that program than you can ever imagine. We were for a number of years there, we were the sweethearts, the darlings of the national sports media with Coach Bowden and with all the characters that we had there, including Deion Sanders and Warwick Dunn and Charlie and Derek Brooks. I mean, we had we had some great, great times.
You had NFL Hall of Famers and College Hall of Famers, and there you guys are right in the mix. There are very few people on this planet in the world of sport that can say they rub shoulders with that type of elite core.
Yeah, and you know, my relationship with Coach Bowden, God rest his soul, was just a very, very close one. As you can imagine, I had to, you know, pretty much work with him every single day. I mean, he would be, you know, he would do a little press conference after practice. Many times we'd have reporters in town that, you know, I set up interviews for him and set up the media opportunities and pretty much was in charge of his schedule to a certain degree, at least when it came to the press and all of that. And so he and I were joined at the hip, and I got to see the great man in action, and one of the finest human beings that ever lived. He was the real deal, and I miss him. I miss him every day. Lived a great life, though. He lived up into his 90s, and I was very, very happy about that.
All right, so a topic came up yesterday when you and I were talking about the current condition of college football and the myriad of options that are being talked about today with SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten. What are the non-power conferences going to do? And you know, and they're all cowering, waiting for the big boys to drop the hammer on them, unfortunately. And that's just the climate we're in. And as I said to Barry Smith, us old guys better enjoy the college football the next two seasons before 2025 kicks off, because of you know, the old traditional games are not—they're not going to be existent. They're going the way of the dodo bird, unfortunately. And then you, who know what's going on inside the ACC, shed some light to me, which blew me away. Why don't you share with our audience our conversation yesterday from Ricky Tees? I'm going to put a plug in there. Maybe I can get him to do a little advertising over there. So why don't you share that with our audience? Because that was just outstanding information that I haven't heard anywhere.
Well, I was talking about the fact that all these, you know, now that these two conferences, these two juggernauts have created these big leagues, the Big Ten obviously picking up UCLA and USC, and the expansion with Texas and Oklahoma of the SEC. And now they're just they've become these powerhouses. They're going to pay so much money to their teams because it's all about television rights. And as you know, every school in those conferences is going to become hugely wealthy overnight. They already are hugely wealthy, but they're going to become wealthier overnight once the new contracts kick in. So the question was, what happens to the Florida States and the Clemsons and the Miamis and the Georgia Techs that are still standing pat in the ACC? Isn't there a possibility that they would get picked off by, say, the SEC to join? You know, Florida seems like Florida State and Clemson are naturals in that mix. But unfortunately, I was telling you yesterday, there's a little bit of a snag in that the teams in the Atlantic Coast Conference back about 2014, the last time there was this shifting around of teams leaving and going to other conferences, nobody in the ACC trusted each other. They all thought, you know, that everybody thought Clemson was going and FSU was going to go and Miami was going to leave. And so they all looked at each other. You imagine this. Imagine all those athletic directors sitting around a table, and they're all saying, oh, we're not leaving. Oh, no, we're not going to leave. But nobody trusted each other because these schools were just willy-nilly just jumping and taking a better offer. So they said, okay, if everybody says they're going to stand pat, let's cement that in stone. And so the way they did it, Mike, was very odd. They did what they called the grant of rights, which meant that every team in the ACC granted their broadcast television marketing rights that each school owned by them on their own. They signed them over to the conference. So every school in the ACC relinquished their broadcast rights, which means, and they did it for a period that lasts until 2036. So I'm talking about 14 more years that nobody in the ACC owns their own television rights, which means that they can't, they're just absolutely locked into not moving to a better deal. They're stuck with each other. They thought that was a good idea a few years back, but right now it doesn't look like such a good idea.
We're talking to Wayne Hogan here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, our clubhouse studios. We're talking to Wayne Hogan. And Wayne, regarding that, what's the dollar amount that a school would have to cough up to make a move to an SEC or make a move to another conference?
Well, it would obviously be negotiated, but you know the early numbers are in the range of, you know, well over $100 million to make a switch to get out of the place they're in. So I don't know. Nobody's got that kind of dough. The only thing that the only entity that could make that happen would be, ESPN, the television networks. They could possibly come in and, you know, if it was that important to them. But frankly, you know, they've got a dynamite conferences right now. Do they really need any more? FSU would be a nice addition to the to the SEC package, but not a deal breaker. I mean, it wouldn't be a deal breaker if they're not in. So the ACC. So here's where I'm going with this, Mike. Here's what's going to happen. The ACC is going to have to negotiate its own television rights deal, and it's going to pay far less than the Big Ten and the SEC. Each school in the ACC will get a yearly allotment of funds. But, you know, if all the SEC teams are getting, let's just say for this conversation, they're getting $100 million a year off of the rights, and Florida State and the ACC teams are getting $50 million a year, that's a big discrepancy. And don't forget, we're in a world now where you can legally pay athletes. So what's going to happen? You can see how the future will fall out, so that the teams with the most money, the schools with the most money, are going to get the best players and consequently have the best teams. So,
you know what, Wayne? This is the Major League Baseball model.
Yes, yes. Very much so. But there's no luxury tax or anything like that. I mean, it's... I'll be on, you know, now switching gears, now that we've kind of gotten through the nuts and bolts of it all, I just fear that the days of the college football that we all knew and loved for all these years is gone. I don't think it'll ever be the same. I don't know how this plays out, let's say in 5 years or 10 years, but I can assure you that it's going to be far different than what we've come to love, because it's now all about, you know, money. It's all a money game. Well, it may have always been about that, but now it's blatantly and out in front of the world about money.
Well, you know, I just got done doing my golf show on the tee, Florida, and it's pretty. It parallels what's taking place with the LIV, and here it's permeated into college sports. And the reality, you know, I'm a 65, almost 66-year-old man like you. I'm glad I'm this age, because I just can't stand to watch things driven completely by greed. But that is the world that we live in, and it destroys history. And we're seeing way too much history destroyed, in my opinion, across the board, not just sports. And, you know, it everything's going in the rearview mirror, and it's all about the almighty dollar. What does FSU and Clemson and all these schools do then from a recruiting perspective? It's sad. And Florida, Miami, Florida, and Florida State have not had great recruiting years of late. They haven't had success of late. It doesn't bode well for the two ACC schools. Florida will be fine, but the two ACC schools, it doesn't look brighter.
No, it's going to be very difficult, you know, and they'll go back. Let's be clear. They're not going to be paupers. I mean, they're going to have a war chest. It's just not going to be as big a war chest as some of the others. And you know, and they can still do a lot of things. And, you know, what you hope for is that still you rely on the personality and the recruiting ability of your head coach, your campus, your college campus, your academics, because these kids seemingly are going to still have to go to class. You know, they're going to have to, you know, work towards a degree. So it's the old fashioned way for the ACC, and it's the old fashioned way. You know, you come here because of the love of the school and the love of the academics, and, you know, your head coach is a swell guy, and, you know, and so that's the way that's going to play out, you know, whereas it's, you know, some of these other schools are, let's sit down and talk about, send your agent in to talk to us about the financial side of it, you know. And
all right, well, that can get to be a bit depressing conversation. So let's finish up something strong and positive you're doing as we wind this conversation down, and that is Florida Rising Stars and what you've been doing and where you're going before I let you go enjoy your Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Mike, thank you about that. I've teamed up with a good friend by the name of Jan Richard, and Jan really founded this organization called Florida Rising Stars. And Jan and I have worked together over the last 2 years to tweak this organization into something that is near and dear to my heart. And I started off our conversation this way. And that is that we are going into high schools with a team of mentors and instructors, and we're teaching high school kids about careers in sports. Everything from broadcasting to sports administration to athletic training. People want to get involved in the medical side and the training, athletic training side, sports officiating, and one of the most popular. And coaching is a very popular area too, Mike. So we go in and we get groups of 75 or 100 high school students that are interested in sports, and we tell them what's out there and what's available and how you get there and what are some of the things that you need to do to prepare if you want to work, you know, have a successful career in sports. So nobody else is doing it. I think we're the Lone Rangers in this, and I think it's been well received. And we're excited about the future going forward with it. And I'm having a good time with it because it's walking my footsteps all over again.
Well, I committed this to you before, and I committed it yesterday as we continue to expand our footprint. I want to get involved because we're working with, you know, organizations and corporate Tampa to support these kids in your efforts, and anything I can do, whether it's come up live or promote on social media. Make sure Jan knows that. And
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.